Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 to our show, as we do every Monday here at 8 o'clock. Corey, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Fantastic. How are you guys today?
We are also fantastic as well. Good. And Corey, a lot to get to with you here today. I want to start with the quarterback movement in the NFL, or at least the quarterback turmoil in the NFL as well. We've seen, obviously, Matthew Stafford gone, Carson Wentz changing addresses. We've heard about the drama with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Now Russell Wilson, some drama with the Seahawks as well. Have you ever seen an offseason quite like this with quarterbacks around the NFL? And what do you think it means moving forward? Could we see more quarterback movement in the years to come?
Well, I think there's two things. Number one, I think we're seeing younger coaches and general managers more willing to trade than we were in the past. I think in the past, and we just didn't see a lot of trades in the National Football League. That they just didn't happen. And I know, like, Sean McVay in particular is more than willing to mortgage assets to get exactly what he wants. So I think there's a willingness to do it right now, and we'll see if that willingness continues. The other thing is, and we're seeing kind of with Deshaun Watson, and we might see with Russell Wilson, is you're seeing more of that NBA vibe working its way into the National Football League. Because in the NBA, the players control virtually everything. And I think quarterbacks in the NFL are starting to see how much control that they have. It's, you know, it's tough for a tackle or a linebacker to, you know, hold a team hostage. They'll just move on and get somebody else. But quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And I think these guys are realizing that. And I think they realize how much leverage and how much strength that they have in the league, because they're the guys that ultimately make the teams go. So if I had to bet, I would say that this trend continues.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And frankly, I find it more entertaining this way. I mean, I think like the NBA offseason is incredible every year, you know? And so this has been, to me, the most interesting NFL offseason I can recall. So I say, let's have more of this, Corey, but I say 17 games is stupid, and I want you to join me in complaining about it every day. Do you agree with me or no?
Joe, I think it's incredibly stupid. I think it's short-sighted. And, you know, I always say, you know, I think sports owners and leagues need to understand that sometimes less is more. You know, NASCAR overshot its reach and hurt itself mightily. And you look at the National Football League and, you know, I know it used to be 12 games. It used to be 14 games. And now we're sitting here at 16 games. I know this. It is a struggle to get to the finish line with a healthy team. I mean, we see Mike Vrabel all the time where we watch the practice report go, no practice for this guy, no practice for this guy, because he's trying to get them to the finish line. And you know, now we want to add a game, you know, because it obviously makes more money and they're in the business of making money. But you also want the best product that you can possibly have. And, you know, ultimately the players will cave on it because they'll get more money and could get more jobs. And if the, I think that's what I would want more than anything. If I was players, I'd want more jobs if they were going to have a 17th game. But the other thing, you know, one of the great things about the National Football League, and you're teetering at that brink, is every game means something. And, you know, because with baseball, you cannot watch for a month and it doesn't matter. You know, they play 162 games. It goes forever. And in the NFL, you know, every game means something. But, you know, you're pushing it more out and, you know, they mean less and less. And so I think this is one of those situations where less is more. I don't like it at all. I mean, I love the NFL. I could watch it twice a day, every day, but part of that is because every game means something and I want to see the best players on the field. I mean, it doesn't mean I just want to watch anybody out there. I don't want to watch the 74th player on the team.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Corey, Obviously, last week, the Titans making the decision to move on from Adam Humphries. I don't think a big surprise there. And we'll see what the future looks like with Corey Davis. But regardless of what his future looks like, A.J. Brown's going to have to be a big part of the passing game next year for the Titans. Obviously, he was great last year, and as we found out, basically was injured the entire season. As you look at A.J. Brown and assuming that he's healthy next year, what do you think the next step is for A.J. Brown in this offense?
Wow. I mean, I hate to say, I hate to think there has to be a next step. I mean, he's already really good. And here's the thing, you know, when we look at like his productivity, you know, they're still a running football team, you know, so, you know, they're not a team that wants to throw it 45 times a game and wants to give one receiver 15 targets a game. I think if we could see him healthy for the whole season next year, I think that would be nice. And I know he was healthy his rookie year, but if he's healthy, but I think, you know, the other thing is, you know, whether it's Corey Davis or somebody else, they need to have somebody else over there because, you know, teams are over, you know, they'll over and under him to death if the Titans don't have another viable option. So, you know, that's kind of a concern for me. I just need for AJ, I just need to see him continue on this track. I mean, you know, I know he had those couple of drops, but that was more of an anomaly than anything else, but he gets open, he catches the ball. He's great with the football in his hands. Loves the game, plays hard, shows up hurt. I don't know what more to ask of him.
Yeah, given what you just said about the importance of someone on the other side and, you know, the cut of Humphries, a lot of different places where, you know, we're probably going to see John Robinson cut. But does that make you feel any different, any better about them really making a push to keep Davis?
Well, I think the thing that I keep pointing to that makes me think that Corey could be coming back, number one, as I say, he is a good fit for this team. And I think he knows this team's a good fit for him. And I keep going back to John's presser almost 2 weeks ago. I think it was Terry McCormick asked him about adding speed to the receiving core. And he went on this diatribe about what they like in a receiver. And that's getting open, catching the ball, doing something with it. And then he went on and on about the importance of blocking and digging out safeties. And I'm like, he's basically describing Corey Davis to a T. Now, if he thinks he can go get another Corey Davis at a lesser price, he can go do that. But, you know, I don't know how many of those guys are out there that block as well as he does and are capable of being a 1,000-yard receiver.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. Corey, switching gears to the Nashville Predators, they've won 4 out of their last 5 games, a couple of big wins over the weekend against Columbus. Are you noticing anything with this group right now that is making you feel differently, that maybe they can dig their way out of this hole? Or is it simply you're playing against the Red Wings and the Blue Jackets and the competition about to step up in a hurry for the Predators here this week?
Oh, I think they're playing better. Now, is that going to be good enough? We're going to find out. I think that's important. But they're certainly playing better. I think they're playing faster. You know, they look more decisive with the puck. I don't think they're gripping the stick quite as hard as they were. You know, they're certainly playing better in front of the goaltender. But I think that, you know, when you just look at, you know, tangible on the stat sheet, you know, what's one big difference, you know, the special teams have been so much better. I mean, you remember when the season started on the penalty kill, they couldn't have stopped the 3 of us.
Yeah.
I mean, teams were scoring at will, and it's been a few games now since they've given up a power play goal, and that power play unit with Forsberg and Tolvanen has really started to become an effective one for this team. So special teams are much, much better. Playing in front of the goaltender is much, much better. They still need to put more pucks actually on the net when they're shooting it. But I think that's starting to get better. I don't think they're pressing quite as hard as they were.
All right, where do you come in on, we just had the discussion, March Madness. I say best sporting event we've got. What say you?
Oh, wow. March Madness is pretty spectacular. It, I mean, it is, you know, when you talk about like things that we cover I mean, March Madness is really, when you walk into that arena and you've got all those teams there and the fans from all over the place, it's pretty special. I mean, and I don't know of any other event that gives you the Cinderella like you get in March Madness. So I would, you know, you'd have to convince me something else. I've always been a huge fan of March Madness, for all the reasons I just stated. And, for one event, you know, one tournament, it's pretty fantastic.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, appreciate you taking time to join us as always, my friend. Great stuff.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoy the week.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more of what we talked about with Corey there, revolving around A.J. Brown and this Tennessee Titans offense. What's the next step for A.J. Brown? How could it affect A.J. Brown if Corey Davis is not a part of the fold next year? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.